beaten, humbled by Scotland here at Murrayfield. A record win over Australia for Scotland. 8 tries and thoroughly deserved.
Welcome back to the program. You just heard some of the highlights out of this Australia the Wallabies v Scotland test match. We just had Paul on talking to TK, taking you to task, actually, about your negative attitude towards the Wallabies. Negative, negative, Nelly. That's basically what he said. You're probably justified, to be fair. I tend to agree with you, not Paul. But someone that's more qualified to talk to us is the great Matthew Burke, and he's joined us in the studio. Morning, Burkster.
Good morning, boys. Good morning, boys. I think the only saving grace of watching that game on the weekend was the Scottish commentary. I love the language. Their ability to sort of make something so bad sound so
We are battling. If we're talking about the best part of the game was the commentary.
Every try ended with Jimmy.
There was a Brian McWigan out there, and that was Byron McWigan. I was going, imagine that, just getting on the juice the whole time.
Burkey, Paul was good. He thought I was negative about rugby, and that's not the case. Was I negative about the Wallabies as an overall image? No, what I'm negative about is the way they've had 2 30-point losses. Yep. And Paul went on to explain how Checker was saying he was going to blood players. And I don't believe test matches in any sport is a place to blood a player and develop a player.
No.
Obviously, everyone's got to play their first test match somewhere, but you don't develop a player in any sport. And then Michael Checker comes out after that thrashing and embarrassment and record loss against Scotland and says, I'm really proud of the team, despite what people might think of the Wallabies. He believes they've just got to take that extra step. We just need to take that extra little step of maturity. And we did a lot of good things this season, despite what some of you guys think in particular. Well, mate, in the end, it's all about the win-loss column.
100%.
And the for and against, mate. I mean...
No, I'm with you. I'm with you. TK, I'm with you. I heard the back end of that chat, and no, I 100% agree. You can't lose a game by 50 points, full stop. I mean, concede 50.
Yeah.
That loss against New Zealand in the opening, Bledisloe. But I understand that. But that's 50 points. You can't keep letting in tries. 8 tries they let in. So defence is an issue. And I know a great mate of mine, Nathan Gray, is a defence coach, and he must be just, turning over, just thinking to himself, what is happening here? So it's fundamentals. It's fundamentals of how to tackle. It's fundamentals of how to play the game. If you heard before the game, their coach was talking about how good Australia's attack is. And I just scratched my head and say, no chance. Their attack is good after a considerable amount of phases. They're holding the ball for a long period of time. But some of their passing is just ordinary. They're flat. They're going nowhere. They look like they don't have a bit of an idea when they're out there. And as you said about blooding players, you don't blood players in a test match. You stick a young bloke in amongst a team that's functioning, if that's the word. I was disappointed. More from the fact that, and I know, and I heard that your caller saying they're catching up. World rugby is becoming more even from places 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 and 7. But you should beat Scotland. I mean, it's Scotland.
And if you don't, you shouldn't get beat by 30.
And I love this. I love the Scots. I love going there. I love touring there.
You love touring anyway.
Yeah, that's right.
No matter where you went.
But you should beat Scotland. You know what I mean?
You would have hoped so.
I
don't know whether I've...
But how got beat by 30?
Have years gone past? Yeah, Scotland are a minnow in rugby, aren't they?
Well, back in the day when they had all the big names, the John Defries, etc., they were a formidable side. They used to kick the crap out of you, basically, and win these games. And Australia, it wasn't until that 1984 tour when they sort of broke that mold in that Grand Slam tour. Mm. But from them, our skills, I think we pride ourselves, Australia prides themselves on being a smarter team. And we're just not playing smart at the moment. There were parts in that game last night were outstanding. Bernard Foley's little left foot grabber down there, chase pick up, pop inside to Kieran Drani. I still don't understand. A guy runs 3 metres and scores a try and everyone runs to him. A bloke's gone, dummy switch, grubber through, and no one goes to the guy who's done all the work. Some of the plays were fantastic, but some of them was just ordinary. Some of them just that one-on-one defence where you've got a bloke in front of you and you have to stop him, and they've just missed that opportunity. So They'll look back on that and say, and easy tries. The thing about it is also, TK, Stewie, is that when you give your press conference and say, you know, like hand up, we accept that, blah, blah, there's a manliness in standing up and saying you're wrong. But when you say it sort of, you know, more than one occasion, it just sort of rolls off the bat, if you know what I mean.
It's like, it just brushes over, doesn't
correct,
it?
Correct, you know? If you understand what
it's
I mean.
It's coach talk.
That
but,
was the question
know,
I was going to ask. Obviously, this series or this tournament or this travel, this European tour doesn't mean that much to Michael Checker's way of thinking.
But it should, though. You know, that's the thing. I mean, these guys went away on this trip, Japan, Wales, England, Scotland. And before they went away, there was always, and obviously no Folau as well, that great attacking weapon.
Look, that is a massive loss,
oh,
right?
Huge. Sure. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And everyone's trying to carry that can and trying to
30,
get across the line. Wales was close. England, they got beaten. And the scoreline, I don't think, reflected how tight the game was. But then last week was just sort of icing on the cake. And it was a tough tour. And I think you're right, TK. The rugby in this country, I love it. I mean, that was what I did.
But I'm there every Saturday.
And you want them to do well. Exactly right. You want them to do well. But they're just sort of, they're shooting themselves in the foot a bit at the same time.
Yeah. Look, it's if there's two boxes there, you go Wallaby tour, success, failure.
A failure.
You got to tip failure.
Absolutely. I mean, for this tour, yes, failure. And they'll argue, but no, we've constructed a few bits and pieces and that kind of stuff. But it comes down to win loss. When you look at the record book, and it says 50 whatever was to 20 something or other, that's smashed. And I know they were out 14 men for 40 minutes, but you can get away with that. You know, like you only have to have 8 in the scrum, and you still got to. You know, I mean, I look at. Oh, it's frustrating. I'll look at this now. There was a defensive situation there yesterday when they ended up scoring. And I have to pause it and say, where have we lost the extra man? We've got 8 on the scrum. But the way the Aussie boys defended in the backs, I'm just scratching my head thinking, it's just, you don't try and reinvent the wheel. First keeper, first slip, second slip, third slip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Put a gully in, cover, mid off, mid on, and then you've got some in the back there. Don't try and reinvent the wheel because you know it works.
Yeah,
so
right.
Just... I think it becomes down. Anyway. I should say, comes down to communication.
You only put fielders there when you want to become known as an attacking captain or an innovative captain. You put a bloke. Like, what's he doing there? Oh, innovative that fella.
Yeah.
Can I
leg slip?
Are we in a Michael Checker's considered? You know, we're in a good spot for the World Cup. Mm. Is that correct? Or is that just we've got beaten? I've got to say something positive.
It's 2 years away.
Yeah, it is 2 years away, and you can always get back to our time when we were when we won in 1997, our crew went away and to Argentina, got beaten in Argentina, and that was a low point, and we climbed from there. But this build up is a hard one to pick because you beat the All Blacks, but there was a little asterisk beside it, I reckon, because there was no Brodie Retallick and no Beauden Barrett there, so. They get the win there. And at that stage there, you're thinking, maybe they've changed. Maybe they've turned the corner. But three tough games on this sort of European leg. They knocked out the Japanese.
Anyway.
And are they in a good spot?
Look.
They've got some players there who I think can play well. And it's just about doing it consistently. That's the frustration that we're seeing. The inconsistencies this year.
The other one that beats me, we're doing this tour for the Wallabies, the famous gold jersey, and we've got Dave Pocock, who's been given a sabbatical, and we're paying him.
When's he going to come
six
back?
To 800,000. He's currently playing in Japan.
Yeah,
but he takes a haircut to go play in Japan, doesn't he?
Oh, he does, but he's still bubbling over. I think
his hair's still growing at a decent rate. Is what you're suggesting?
Right. Oh, it's like yeah.
Anyway, let's talk
about
positives.
That's no different to the IPL. Yeah. That's no different to the IPL and cricket.
That's a window, mate. That's an international window.
You don't get bashed.
The IPL.
Yeah, but they used to take money off. They don't take money off
anymore. This is not an international window. We gave our best forward a year off, fully paid, and then he's now in Japan.
But that's on the back of the bloke of Richie McCaw, isn't it? They let him do that 3 years ago before the last World Cup.
Dan Carter.
Yeah,
so they're following that model. They went, did it really work? Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I know David's very much into philanthropy, I think, for want of a better term, and that's fine, but... Oh, I tend to agree with TK.
Hold on. I'm not being rude here, and he's got some wonderful traits. Yeah. He's playing in Japan for money. He's not there for charity.
I'm talking about the sabbatical where he just had time off to go and save wildlife and stuff.
But I think
he got fully paid for that, mate. He's not saying, I'll donate my money back to the Australian Rugby Union.
So did Richie McCaw and Dan Carter. They did the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's not the first time something like that's ever happened. They just got a plethora of players they can pick from.
That's true. But it's chicken or egg at the same time. You know, you got your status, if that's the word, by playing.
Yeah.
So then you can support. So if you don't have that status to play, you don't sort of support as worldly.
I would have given him time off, but I said, you're not getting paid, champ. Hope it all goes well for you.
Yeah, but you
can't. That would have been my decision.
Well, he must have said, if you don't give me the time off, I'll go and I won't play again.
I'll go.
I'll just go and play in Japan and Europe.
Yeah, all the best. Hope it goes well for you. That's what I would have said in return.
But of course, they'd all play for nothing. It's all about the pride of the jumper.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely, mate. Of course.
Anyway, I want to finish on a positive. Let's talk about positives that come out of the tour.
Yeah.
Corabidi tick.
Yep.
And I like the fact they're starting to use the short kick in behind the line.
Yeah. And finally, understanding. Yeah, that's exactly right. Look, Corabidi has been a brilliant find this year. I mean, we all knew he was going to play well. It's just about giving some space at the same time. Sad about Jack Dempsey when he hurt his leg in that Barbarians game. I thought he would have thrived overseas.
Okay.
And, you know, you start to whittle out the ones that sort of aren't quite there. Mm. And I understand how Checker can say this is a developing tour. But first and foremost is you need W's beside your name when you go to Europe. You've got to be able to win those games. So it was a tough tour. I think these guys will enjoy the break coming home now. They'll have 2.5 weeks off before they get back into camp, I think.
It's ridiculous, isn't it?
And then they're into a new, you know, Super Rugby season, which then they need to perform well as well.
Yeah, in which you emerge from a Super Rugby season, you go into Wallaby camp and you're not fit. I know, I'm just... I don't want to be negative.
It's hard not to be.
It's easy to be. That's the thing. It's easy to be. And I think I said last week.
How do you finish a Super Rugby season after a
negative Charlie?
You finish you go pre-season into a Super Rugby. You do Super Rugby. You come out and the Wallaby coach goes, "My players aren't fit after a Super Rugby season."
Rugby has a bit of a scheduling issue on that point. I think I've asked a few people before that they do have a scheduling issue with all these tours, and then they're back into it. They don't have time to have pre-season.
And that's been the debate for 20-odd years, Stewie, about the, since the professional era came in, about, who's going to move to make it a more of a succinct
And they've gone with the timings. Option. They've gone with the option of no one.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I think the June series is changed. I know there's one more June series, then it's going to change. It's going to get a little bit closer together, but... But still, it's a long season.
Berkey, good to see you, mate.
Good to see you, boys.
Did we solve anything?
No. It was good to have a talk, though.
It was good. I enjoyed it, mate. It's always good when the great Berkster's in.
I love chewing the fat.
You could keep going, couldn't you?
Yeah, you could.
That's what they tell me.
That's what we do. Good on you, Berkey.
Nice shirt, too, by the way.